And verse 26, and when he had found Paul, that is Barnabas had found Paul, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So the church in Antioch took off and grew. And as the church grew, God sent prophets to the church. The prophets came from Jerusalem. And so the prophets came all the way and prophesied about a famine that will take place. In verse 28, one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to their ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So we have the church starting to give out. The church has started to mature. A giving church is a growing church. Some of my associates travel all over, and I do travel too. And sometimes men of God come to our country and we set out itineraries for them, we send them out. And when we are close to them, we ask for a report of those churches they went to on a personal basis. I will sit down with them and say, how's the trip? And what happened here? What happened there? And how's this church? How's that church? And it's always the same. Maybe you won't believe me, but one day when you're in traveling ministry, you will notice it. When you travel to hundreds of churches, that it's always the church that gives, that grows the most. I've been places, and should I mention this? Well, just mention it. It's true, right? Where you minister your heart out, they collect an offering, and it seems that the offering is for you, and they mention it's for you, and then they give you $50. Just, it so happened in that church, it was a denominational church, in that church, it would have paid just nice for full tank of petrol. But, and the Spirit did work, but only to a certain extent. Then in other places, they don't even bother to give anything. And it's sad, because if that happens in every church, no one will go into the fivefold ministry and last long. They will either be pastor, evangelist, pastor, prophet, pastor, teacher, pastor, something. Because they don't pastor a church, they don't have any income. So they can never be a full evangelist, they can never be a full prophet. How do you survive if most of the time the only meetings open are on a weekend, on Sunday? And if you have even an offering of $100 per week, let's say on a Sunday, you preach on a Sunday, is the day that they want you most. So if you are unknown, if you are well known, no problem. You could preach any day of the week, you always get, you will always be able to have a meeting. But if you're starting in the ministry and your name is Tan Arthur, nobody knows you. Nobody knows you. Where do they put you? Either in a home fellowship, or if really the pastor has confidence in you, they give you a Sunday to look, see how you can minister. Now, even if you have an offering of $100 a week, don't forget, that is supposed to cover your traveling expenses. Sometimes it covers your accommodation. If you have a family at home, if you have 2 mouths to feed, if you have a mortgage on your house, if you have a higher purchase for your car, if you run an office, you can see many of them cannot grow big, their ministry. They either remain small, or they work part-time and serve part-time. It's because of that situation, God cannot move. But I notice this, most churches that learn to give I don't know. They say it's not in the Bible, but let me tell you. It is in denominational thinking and in Christianity that you give only an honorarium. Even some of the most Pentecostal charismatic churches who know the truth in the Bible never dare to take love offerings for speakers. Because they are afraid, maybe some people they will lose. You never lose. And as a result, you say, oh brother, don't talk about money. Wait a minute. If my personal life, I'm not faithful in my money, then I cannot be faithful in other things, right? Now, if the church cannot be faithful in its money, can it be faithful in other things? It's a principle in God's word. And now when I teach all these things, I don't expect any love offering, any offering in that sense. But please, wherever your church is, wherever in your own churches, be faithful, you know, give to all your local churches and support your local pastors. Your local pastors won't dare to preach this message to you, so I can preach it for them. Although they didn't pay me to do this, right? But as we travel, we found this, that the churches that learn to handle finances faithfully are the ones where the Spirit of God works most. It starts there. When God starts dealing in our life to surrender Him, He deals with our money, our purse, our pocketbooks. When God deals in a church, for the church to surrender to Him, believe me, it touches the church's pocketbook. When we learn to give as a church, our church ties to the mission field. It's important that we learn to give out as a church. And it must be founded on that principle. So the church in Antioch learned to give. Later on, we find that the church of Antioch learned to give forth other things. Now, giving is not only in finances, it's also in being willing to let their leaders go out and minister out. And the same way, I don't know how your church setup is, but sometimes a church is set up where the pastor is an employee in the church and he gets a salary, and they don't dare to let the pastor go anywhere to minister in case they lose him or something or whatever. Or they say, we pay you to do this job, don't go anywhere. But they don't realize if they allow the minister, the man of God, the pastor in their church, maybe not often, of course if the pastor goes out 90% of the time and stays 10%, there's something wrong. Unless he set up a system properly. But they should allow the man of God and the pastor to go out and give his life to the body of Christ at large. Send him forth. When he gets all these experiences and whatever, when he travels and ministers, when he comes back, he will be able to bless the local church even more. Let your pastor spend 10% of his time outside. Tie his time outside. And he needs to do that, because sometimes if he don't go out, the leaders in the local fellowship don't want to do the job. After all, pastor is there doing the job. But one day, pastor is not there. Hey, who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Very good. Then only they start growing and doing the job. And so, we should learn to give outwards, and we should learn also to let our leaders go out. And I like to encourage all my leaders, all my pastors, all the elders, all the deacons, to at least give their time somewhere out in the mission field. Because unless they travel out, some of them really are seperti kata di bawah tempurung, like a frog under a coconut shell. No world vision. Every church needs a world vision. Otherwise we'll be narrow minded. Well, every church needs a world vision. And every elder and deacon who is sitting on a board needs to go out there to see where the gospel hasn't reached. Needs their heart touched, challenged by the needs out there. I would like to send someone. I mean, I might even pay the airfare for some of them to go to some of these places where the gospel hasn't been before. And one of our home fellowship pastors went and traveled to a tribal area. And he came back, I sat with him for lunch, and he says, my life is changed. One trip,
It's one trip. Praise God. Get every member to go. Right?
Says, I'll never be the same again. Say, what a privilege we are in. We need to do that. Is send people out and maybe even give time out. See, when different ministries need different things, we offer the use of our facilities for free. So you don't have to pay the rental, just free. Use it. Use it for God. In many ways, we learn to give out. Now, I understand there's a proportion in there, but there's a tie of our time, our talents, our money, outwards, even as a church, in order for the church to grow. And the church that doesn't give easily have internal problems, like the Corinthian church. You know, one of the problems in the Corinthian church, they had to be challenged by another church to be more giving. Look at what Paul told the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. They were rich in their soul, although they were poor in the physical world. But they will prosper as their soul prosper. It will come to pass. And look over here in chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the ministering to the saints. Again, the ministering to the saints, the second section of 3 John. Ministering to the saints, the brethren who come, and to strangers. It is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know. See, Paul is a very positive man. You can see the way he writes the letter to Philemon. He's a very positive man. Right? He says, I know you will do this. But the fact is, they were not doing it. He writes to the Corinthians. In all those problems, he starts in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's a very positive man. I thank God for you. And he looked for something to thank God for. That you have all the gifts of God. Right? Which is true. But he has other things he will find very hard to thank God. He's being very positive here, but understand that this is because it's his style. I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, look at his reservation, verse 3. Yet I send the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. See, he has some doubts. They do give, but not really like the Macedonian. I tell you, the Macedonian give no strings attached. The Corinthians give got a bit of strings. So they play layang-layang with Paul. Say, brother, where did they play layang-layang? Well, look at what Paul was talking to them about his apostleship. And remember when Paul was talking about his apostleship in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians.